This is OTB AM.
Let's tell you something about Nathan now. I think he said the other night, I was listening to his commentary, actually, I got the first half of his commentary the other night. Great reader of a stat, he's just not a great reader of the game. And that's not something that I thought about. I was thinking it when I was driving. I was thinking, he's a great man for a stat, but, oh, come on.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
You know, that wasn't an All-Ireland winning performance.
Probably should have won the game based on their second half performance.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
OTBAN's performance rankings with Gillette.
I'm scratching my head. Our performances have just lacked that intensity.
Tommy Rooney, you have the honour this week of taking us through the good, the bad and the grand. Where are we starting?
We're starting with the bad, as always, Owen. Unfortunately, I'm sticking Irish rugby there at number 5 in the red. It's a pity because they had such a good week the previous week. And I tuned in Saturday night and you were hoping that it'd be a competitive tie. Obviously, France are, you know, far superior in a lot of ways in terms of their standing in the game, their fourth in the world. And I'm not sure the gap is actually as big. Apologies about that. I'm not sure the gap is actually as big as suggested, the scoreline suggested the weekend. I think Stacey Flood spoke about it quite a bit, about the Irish mistakes that led to French tries. They conceded 8. Alan Quinlan ran us through it there. The third four-place playoff against Italy this weekend is massive. Speaking to Neil Tracy beforehand off air, he spoke about the fact that maybe I should be putting the Six Nations Championship here at number 5, given the fact that really, if you're talking about a competitive tournament between 6 different teams, you know, you've got 3 tiers here. You've got England and France, who are miles ahead of everyone else. You've got Ireland and Italy up next. And then you've got Wales and Scotland at the bottom. Like, how bad must Wales and Scotland be right now if, you know, Ireland are able to hammer Wales 45-0 and then go out and get a pacing from France? So, look, it was a great week the previous week for Irish rugby. Hopefully they can get back on track and they can beat Italy this weekend and they'll be back in the green. But yeah, they're on the red this weekend.
The slightly unfortunate thing about it is that everybody was watching this game as well, and that there was like expectation, wasn't it? Like, it was an FA Cup weekend. There was no men's rugby really, or like no European Cup, for example, or any clashes of that note, that this was the attention on this game and it was huge coverage of the game. And I guess when you look at the gulf and class between them, there's going to be the usual questions asked. And the thing about the semi-professional conversation, it's going to keep coming up because it's such a simple thing to talk about. Ireland will get beaten heavily by another semi-professional or fully professional team again at some point in the future. And the first topic of conversation afterwards is going to be this exact same thing. We're going to be sick of having this conversation over the next couple of years until the IRFU actually do something about it. And you'd like to hope that it is an inevitability before they actually do something about it. I know Rory O'Connor in the Irish Independent this morning is questioning why Lynn Cantwell is involved in a rugby union abroad and isn't involved with Ireland. Where is the funding on that level of things, let alone the players? So the worry is that Irish rugby has stagnated maybe from 2014, 2015 over the last 6 years, or at the very best has stood still while other countries have moved forward. So it was a reality check for a lot of people, I think, on Saturday, and that's probably why they're in the red.
Massively so, Owen. And just to add to that, like we saw it on Monday morning, Bevan Parsons joined us and she only added to the excitement that we have about this team. You've the likes of Doherty Wall, the Irish flanker there as well. There's a couple of potential stars in this Irish side and they deserve the investment and the backing and I suppose the interest from the public over the next couple of years. And hopefully this isn't a false dawn. We saw it with the Irish women's national team. They were so close to qualifying for big tournaments in recent years and you'd worry whether a golden generation has just passed us by. And hopefully that isn't going to be the case with the Irish rugby team. Saturday is a massive game, make no mistake about it. Beat Italy, finish third, and you can start to build and go forward. So we're going to move on to number 4 here, and it's Dundalk and Dundalk's mess. Nathan Murphy's first question to Vinnie Peart, meddling American owners, does it ring a bell? Like, what is going on? Giovanni quits on Sunday. Giovanni isn't even the Dundalk manager by the time he quits. Well, I suppose, was he? But because Shane Keegan stepped down on Friday. Shane had obviously been promoted from team manager to head coach after, you know, Dundalk made the decision in January that obviously Giovinioli didn't have their required UEFA coaching badges to take over. Keegan was promoted, and it just hasn't worked out for Dundalk. They've fallen so far behind in the title race. It's just a complete mess. The club just seemed to be losing. I don't know. They just seem to have lost the complete spark that they developed over the last couple of years. We can see it on the screen there. They just can't peak. It's the American owners and the influence that they've had just hasn't worked. And we have a bit of audio here. Jim McGilton speaking after the game and sort of addressing the mess that has developed.
Listen, before we start, next 20, I know you're going to ask questions about what's happened over the last 24 hours. We're not going to answer any questions that, okay? So we'll make a statement in due course. There you go. So if you want to talk about the game,
just
talk about the game.
Statement, is that due course? Is that today?
No, it'll be in due course.
You'll appreciate that seems like a rather strange...
It's what it is. So, game or not?
Well, who picked the team today for the game today?
Who do you think picked the team? Right, game. Anyone want to talk about the game?
That is game related, Jim.
It is game related, yeah. Anyone want to talk about the game?
Well, I've asked you a question about the game.
Yeah. Well, who do you think picked the game? Who picked the team? Who do you think picked the team? The team would have been already picked, you know what I think, going into this game. Going into a game like this.
It is difficult to talk about the game when everything else is going around. That's the only problem. So, in terms of...
But listen, we will clarify all this in due course. Promise you that. We will clarify everything that you want to ask. Okay, and that'll be done in the next few days, I'm sure.
Right, okay, that's really good audio. That's really interesting. And, I mean, you talk about the situation there that Dundalk maybe is in a little bit of a mess at the moment. I would contend that actually if the right appointment is made, then they'll be back on the right track pretty comprehensively. Because, let's not forget the ridicule that the Giovagnoli appointment was met with, and then the subsequent surprise when they ended up qualifying for the Europa League group stages. And it clearly speaks to the quality that they have in the squad. I know obviously there's been plenty of movement in the off season since last year, but there's still quality there. And I think Vinnie Perth touched on that he just doesn't understand why people think that this is a basket case of a club to go into. It'll be very interesting to see what Shane Keegan has to say, maybe if Giovagnoli speaks over the next few weeks, just to get a bit of an insight as to what actually happened over the last little while, because Dundalk was the story before the League of Ireland season kicked off as well. Giovagnoli, obviously not a fully qualified coach. Shane Keegan stepped in, and famously Dundalk got slapping the wrist from UEFA last year when Giovagnoli snuck into one of the technical areas. So this has been a long rumbling thing, and if Jim McGilton is saying there that there's going to be clarity in due course, I'd be interested to see what that is.
Yeah, 100%. And that McGilton audio there was a smashing level of narkiness throughout that whole interview. He was on the defence a little bit, and it reminded me a little bit of, and I'm really disappointed myself that I haven't got the audio right now, but of a certain League of Ireland manager and his electrician comments around the floodlights. I'm not an electrician, so we might dig that out later in the week. Go check out the Sports Illustrated version of that if you want. So Dundalk, look, we all know how fickle a thing momentum is in football. And the right appointment, as you said, it could switch. Momentum in sport is just something so fickle. Okay, into the orange. This was a tight one this week, the grand. And we've gone for Stephen Kenny and the Irish Premier League players. So Sheffield United got relegated at the weekend. We knew it was coming. It's a big blow for Irish football because we're losing Enda Stevens and John Egan from playing Premier League football week in, week out. That was such a positive for Ireland over the last couple of years, even especially when McGoldrick was playing Premier League football and he was leading the line for Ireland. But losing Egan and Stevens is a big blow for Ireland. Who knows how long Seamus Coleman has left playing Premier League football? I'm not going to doubt the man. He obviously made a big impact when he came off the bench at the weekend. But we don't even have Matt Doherty competing with Shamie at the moment for that right back berth. The likelihood is West Brom are going to go down, so we're going to lose Darryl O'Shea and Callum Robinson. Now, hopefully, Big Sam can pull off a miraculous escape, because that'd be good for us. That'd be good for Irish football. And I suppose Norwich City have been promoted, and Adam Ida and Andrew Ambabadeli are, playing bits and pieces for Norwich at the minute. I don't know, is it a good thing that Norwich has gone up for Stephen Kenny and for Ireland? Like, would it be better if Adam Ida had a year of championship football under his belt next year? And the same for Amabal Madeli. Is he ready to play Premier League football? I don't know. He's obviously impressed so much in the last couple of weeks, but is he going to get a chance in the summer? Who knows? Like, genuinely, who knows? And, Owen,
the
reason I have Irish football in the orange is that if the European Super League takes off and all these players are banned from international football, surely we're going to qualify for a World Cup then, right?
Well, surely. What's going to happen is if there's a European Super League, this golden generation is actually going to arrive, and it'll be just our luck that Ireland will have like 11 world-class players. Troy Parrott's going to end up becoming Harry Kane. Dara O'Shea is going to end up becoming Rio Ferdinand. Oma Bamadeli is going to end up becoming Nemanja Vidic. And they're all going to end up joining Super League clubs, and then they'll all be taken away from Ireland. That would be just the Irish luck for that to happen. Like, I think you're right to put Ireland into the orange here. I think that you're right probably about Ida. Maybe is he going to get enough minutes as a Premier League striker next season? I think you can use that argument, though, for the West Brom and the Sheffield United lads. Now, it hasn't been a problem for the Sheffield United players. Like Stevens and Egan are in their starting team, no questions asked. But maybe for Callum Robinson, he gets maybe more goals and he gets more confidence, and he'll be playing against teams like Chelsea aren't getting relegated, so maybe he's not going to score against anybody, but he'll probably have a better chance of scoring against other opposition as well. And like, when it comes to Oma Bamadeli and his arrival into the Premier League, there's a few comparisons between himself and Dara O'Shea. That's, you know, the late arrival into a first team right before promotion was notable. I know Dara O'Shea probably came in quite early in that season and Slaven Bilic loved him. And Dara O'Shea is older as well. I mean, like, he was 21 when he was getting promoted, whereas Oma Bamadeli is 18 years of age at this point. So it's still very soon. And as you say, for a Premier League striker, probably a little bit too soon.
Yeah, 100%.
Or centre-back, I should say.
Centre-back, sorry. Yeah, centre-back, 100%. Right. Into the green, and these were possibly the easiest decisions to make all week. Maybe the order of it was kind of tight, but number two, Orla O'Dwyer. Especially after Rachel Blackmore's antics last week and over the last month, I think it's safe to say that of all the Mount Rushmores, Tipperary needs a facelift. Orla O'Dwyer has now become the second Irish player ever to win the AFLW medal. Ailish Considine had won it before a couple of years ago. The Clare player playing with the Adelaide Crows. They were beaten at the weekend by the Brisbane Lions. And it's not like O'Dwyer just had a role on the team, on the bench, coming on. She was a key player for the Brisbane Lions. And she's developed a serious amount in terms of an AFL prospect over the last six months or so, ever since she went out during the middle of the championship last year in October 2020. It's her second year playing AFL, but she's really asserted herself this year. She, you know, had she led the way with disposals. She had 16. She had six tackles. She set up a goal. She had an exceptional game. And I think that in terms of the 14 Irish players that went out this year, most of them, barring a couple of terrible injuries, Sinead Goldrick was taken out with a really bad injury. Breed Stack obviously missed out with a really bad injury. The Irish players had a huge impact on the AFLW this year, and it just shows the potential that's there for young Irish athletes coming up to go over there and make a career of themselves. Like, whatever about the reluctance for some counties to put their men's players forward to go play AFL, like, I don't know. I've always disagreed with that. I think it's a huge opportunity to play professional sport. Like, I'd love to have Conor Nash back playing football in Meath. I'd love to have him leading the line in midfield and Keane McBride back playing. But, like, everyone dreams of playing professional sport. And the doors that are open there now through the likes of different agencies of cross-coders and the various parties that are involved in plucking the Irish stars and bringing them over, it's just a huge potential for Irish players to dream and to grow and develop as sports people. You look at Sarah Rowe and Ashton Sheridan, who went from living together in DCU to now going over and playing for Collingwood, and they're beaten in the semi-finals or the pre-final by Brisbane Lions. And I don't know, it's class to see the Irish stars that are doing so well over there. Obviously, we're all jealous of all of our friends and family who are over in Australia at the minute, and they're living life. But there was a crowd. The crowds were in, and it was a great occasion. And yeah, O'Dwyer had a serious impact at the weekend.
Oh, I'm telling you, the people who went down to actually play AFLW during this pandemic have won at life in a way that people just haven't won at life in the past. And then Order of Dwyer obviously is winning at life even more than the other people who are winning at life. So the second ever Irish woman to win the championship, 38-20, wasn't it, in front of 22,000 people at the weekend, which is just obviously the best part of all of this, getting to watch fans.
Is Ty Kennelly still the only Irish man to win the Premiership medal? Like Zach Toohey and Mark O'Connor, they lost the final 2 years ago. I think Kennelly is still the only man. So there's only three then.
You are putting me on the spot.
I probably shouldn't have landed there in the spot, but I think it is only the three. And then number one, Leona Maguire. You know, Shane Lowry would have caught the eye over the weekend. He had another top 10 finish following up on his Masters win. But Leona Maguire finished second. She pocketed 125,000, more than doubled her winnings for the year so far. It's her first ever year on the tour, her first full season on the tour, sorry. And yeah, just an exceptional finish. Tied for second. And, you know, talking about giving the Tipperary Mount Rushmore a facelift, Paul Fitzpatrick of the Anglo Celt had Leona Maguire on the Cavan one. He got a bit of stick for it at the time, but she is beginning to assert herself now on the world stage. Like, she was up against the best golfers in the world, and she was a couple of shots back off the winner. But, you know, what a success for her at the weekend. Like, that's a huge amount of money to keep her going throughout the season. So congrats to Leona Maguire. She is the winner of this week's performance ranking after tying second on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, it was John Joe O'Reilly who suffered at the hands of Leona Maguire on the Cavan Mount Rushmore. Dave McIntyre had O'Reilly up on the Mount Rushmore, and Fitzpatrick, as you say, ruthlessly took him off to put up Leona Maguire, and I think he's been vindicated here. And
there was no doubt in that. Paul was talking about having Leona there as one of his number one picks straight away, so he was spot on.
And what a future as well for her career as well, coming down the tracks. Right, that is this week's Performance Rankings.
OTBAN's Performance Rankings with Gillette.
Just to go through some of your audience suggestions actually before we wrap up this morning. Mark Waters said the Super 12 should have been in there in the red because they're all a shower. Dom said Gary Neville for that round in the green. Liam said Iheanacho in the green for the most underrated foreign player in England right now. I like that shout. Andrew said stick the Premier League Big Six in the red. Yassin said the traditional Big Six were trying to privatise elite level football by making it a closed shop. Claff, probably a Manchester United fan, suggests Cavani into the green. And Jim says as a Munster fan, do we have to watch Leinster hammer us again this weekend? So he's already putting Munster into the red in the performance rankings. But the competition winner this week is Sean Lyons. So congratulations to Sean Lyons. He said every team joining the Super League should be in the red because it's a ridiculous performance by any football club. Congratulations, Sean. You are the winner of a Gillette Starter Pack this morning on OTBAM.
OTBAM. With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.